All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, Super Bowl edition of the show, as we get set for Sunday evening's matchup between the 49ers and the Chiefs in South Florida. And we've got plenty to get to on that today. We've got some Bucks news, of course. There's always something with the Bucks, even in the offseason. That's going on today. Plenty to get us going on this week's edition of the show. So thank you for joining us, as always. And the way I like to set things up is to let you know how you can reach me, because I always love hearing from you guys. The email address, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. BobbyGameday at yahoo.com. And on Twitter, same thing, @BobbyGameday. Free Stretch brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Just like in 2019, we got 2020s over there now. But no matter what you get, whether it's a brand new 2020, or if you end up getting a 2019, or if you end up getting something a few years old, they're all the same in that you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, which means that anytime you buy a vehicle, whether it's new, whether it's pre-owned, whether it's used, whatever you want to call it, and you can see everything at the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E. Whatever you buy, you are covered on engine for that car. So 4 years from now, 6 years from now, whatever it is, as long as you're still the one who owns the car, having bought it at Bill Curry Ford, you bring it back in, they'll take care of it. You've got that peace of mind the entire time you're driving the car. And that's something that you don't get other places. That's something that I've never seen even before I started doing work with Bill Curry Ford in my personal travels and buying used cars. I'd never had that experience. That's what you get over there, though. So check it out. Again, the website is BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E. Or you can go in person, too, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. It's on the east side of the road, just north of Hillsboro. Ask for Sean Sullivan, my good friend, the GM, and, of course, mention the Free Stretch. Mention Joe Bucks Fan, mention Bobby Fenton, whatever it is, you'll get the JBF discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. So thanks to them. And we got a big weekend. You know, we got through the bye week of the Super Bowl, and obviously the Pro Bowl, not that the Pro Bowl was ever even a big deal, but the Pro Bowl immediately got overshadowed on Sunday when news of Kobe Bryant's death came down, and that completely turned everything on its ear. And you know, I've seen a lot of great tributes and stuff like that with all the things that have been out there. And of course, the Lightning, if you watch hockey, the Lightning actually played at Staples Center on Wednesday night. And that was the first sporting event of any kind at Staples Center since what happened on Sunday. And obviously a terrible tragedy and all that stuff. I was never a big basketball guy. I'm not a college basketball. I'm not a big NBA guy. But I mean, even I, like when I got the news and I was coaching my kids' soccer game on Sunday, came off the field, one of the dads, who I hadn't even met yet because it was our first game, so like we just kind of got out there and started playing, and I come off the field and he goes, "Did you hear about Kobe Bryant?" I'm like, "What?" And he told me, I just came off the field from the game and I had to take a couple seconds. I was like stunned. But anyway, our hearts and our thoughts go out to his family and the families of everybody on the helicopter, of course. Now, looking ahead to this week, Super Bowl Sunday is finally here. And I was, you know, going back to the conference championship games, we talked about it a couple shows ago. I mean, if you had asked me to pick the matchup that I wanted to see before the conference championships, whenever you get to two teams on each side left, four total teams, that gives you four possible permutations, four combinations of teams you could have in the Super Bowl. Almost never does the thing that I want to happen actually happen. Like, you'll have your top pick, like, oh, I hope the Super Bowl pairing is this and that. And it's almost never that. Usually you get at least one team in there of the four that you didn't want out of the four combinations. And sometimes it's both. So I was hoping mainly for the Chiefs to beat the Titans. And I was hoping for either Chiefs-Packers or Chiefs-49ers, with Chiefs-49ers being my top pick. Of course, it's the best possible matchup that was left seeding-wise. But I also think, I mean, for that reason, it'd probably be the best potential game. Did not want any part of the Titans in the Super Bowl. So, got my wish at least, and I would have been fine if it was Chiefs-Packers too, but the 49ers always seemed like the superior team, and that did bore itself out. So here we are. And I always love when you get a Super Bowl that's close to a pick'em like this. I mean, sometimes you get 5-point spreads or even 8-point spreads or something like that. So we don't need any point spreads for this one. I think the Chiefs are favored by one, maybe two, depending on whatever shop you're looking at. But for the most part, who's going to win? You don't need to handicap this one too much. And, you know, the Chiefs are hard to bet against because you always go to the quarterbacks first, right? And you look at the quarterbacks and you look at Mahomes, and you never want to bet against him unless he's going up against somebody else like him, and there aren't many like him. But when you see the 49ers offense and the way they rely on the run much, much more, and with good reason, I mean, you saw what they did to the Packers. They had no reason to throw the ball. People think I'm anti-running the football, and what I really am, and what any analytical person or anybody who's looking to maximize success, whether it's sports or anything else, what you really should be is just anti-inefficiency. Running the ball is much less efficient than throwing the ball normally. It's not a way to produce points. It's really something you do more when you get a lead rather than something you do to get a lead. But in San Francisco's case on Sunday, when you're getting 10, 15, 20 yards on these carries, that is like throwing the ball. And they were doing that. I mean, the Packers defense had no issue. I mean, last Sunday, not this past Sunday. So that's a team that maybe, even though you look at the quarterback advantage that the Chiefs have, and that's the first thing everybody thinks about, you know, they haven't had to ask that much from Garoppolo. And yet, what keeps me coming back to the Chiefs, because I mean, I think San Francisco is the more complete team, especially if you look at, you know, offensively and defensively, because the Chiefs' offense is amazing, and they're fun to watch and all that stuff. But the 49ers' offense isn't exactly chopped liver, but they have the defense to go with it, I think more so than Kansas City. So you keep looking at this, and it seems like, hey, is there a little bit of value maybe on San Francisco? Because this is being considered almost a pick 'em, and again, a lot of places you're getting a couple points with San Francisco, when in reality, should they maybe be favored by a field goal or so? And if you find that little sliver of value, you know, that's where the edge comes. But what I keep coming back to, and this is the thing that you don't know how the game's going to unfold, but if it gets to be 10-0 San Francisco, 14-3 San Francisco, if that happens, I don't feel like the game's over in any way. We've certainly seen what the Chiefs can do coming from behind. They did it to both Houston and then eventually Tennessee in the AFC Championship game. And if they get to that point, I'm not saying it will, it may never get to that point, but if it does, if San Francisco gets out ahead early by a couple of scores, let's say, it's not like, oh man, I don't know if they even have this in them. We certainly know they have that in them. Whereas if it's the other way around and the Chiefs get out to a 10-0, 14-3, you know, 13-3, whatever you want to say type of lead, then it seems like, whoa, because I don't know if San Francisco's built to come back from something like that. As certainly they could, both of these teams could, but they're not built for it in the way that Kansas City is, where you can go get a bathroom break when it's 10-3 and come back and it's, you know, 24-10. I mean, that's how the Chiefs operate a lot of the time. So that's what kind of keeps me coming back, even as a gambler, where if I was just looking straight at metrics and nothing but cold, hard numbers, I might say, there's a little bit of value with the Niners here, you know, but I'm not going to bet on this game, even though betting on the Super Bowl is kind of like a pastime for me. I mean, even people that don't bet on the Super Bowl. But this game, this is kind of a testament to the game. I don't need to. I'm pretty excited. Just sit down, watch the game, have some fun, and do our thing. And I think it's going to be a good time on Sunday. I will be, as I always am, at my buddy Andrew's house, who has his Super Bowl party. Now, here's one of the things I want to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Bucks in a minute. Actually, you know what? Let's talk about Super Bowl parties in a minute, and we'll talk about the Bucks now. I'm going to transition. I'm going to pivot real quick, because I don't want to push this to the back of the show. Back to the Super Bowl stuff in a minute. There was a report, not a report, but an interview done yesterday on the radio. I'm recording this on a Thursday afternoon. And actually, no, the interview was this morning, Thursday morning, where Peter King, who used to write for SI, used to do Monday Morning Quarterback and all that, now works for NBC Sports. And Peter King was on, it was one of the morning radio shows on WEEI in Boston. I'm sorry to the host, I don't have the exact name. But he was on WEEI. They're talking about Tom Brady, what's going to happen with Tom Brady. And Peter King, of course, a guy with a lot of sources around the NFL, a guy who's not just going to pop off about stuff. He said he thought the sleeping giant, these are his words, the quote-unquote sleeping giant in the whole Tom Brady unrestricted free agency thing was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he talked about, I'm paraphrasing, not exact quotes here, but he said, if Jameis Winston is realistic in his contract demands and it doesn't end up being something where he goes way over the top, of what he probably deserves, and there's not a concern about it being too big of a number. He thinks that the status quo remains and that Jameis Winston re-signs here, whether it's the franchise tag or a multi-year. But if Jameis gets a little out of control with the demands and it's something where the Bucs say, you know what, we're prepared to move on, Peter King thinks Tom Brady has a really good chance of coming to the Buccaneers. And he went on to say Bruce Arians isn't coaching forever. You know, he thinks Brady would jump at the chance to, if it's not going to be in New England, would jump at the chance to be playing with a guy like Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich. Same thing for Arians, who, again, isn't going to coach forever and feels like if he has a chance to strike while the iron's hot the next year or two and thinks Brady can still be that guy, then he'd be more inclined to go with someone like that than hoping that they can coach the mistakes out of Winston. And these are all points I don't disagree with necessarily, but this is what he said. If you look at the weapons that are here compared to what he has in New England, they're far superior here with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard. I mean, certainly, you know, the offensive line is a bit of an issue, but it wasn't as bad as we gave it credit for, and it should get better this coming year with a replacement at right tackle. So again, these are all things I don't disagree with. It's not uncompelling what he said. My main thing, well, first of all, I don't think Jameis Winston's going to get out of control. I think they'll eventually reach a number there, number one. Number two, it's really hard for me to see Brady playing anywhere else. I mean, I know how Belichick is. I know he can be cold and calculating. I know that if he thinks that having Tom Brady as his quarterback in 2020 is going to be more detrimental to the cause, if you will, of trying to win a championship than having some other quarterback, Bill Belichick will not hesitate to go with the other quarterback instead. I mean, I know that about Bill Belichick, but I really think there's incentive there for them to get that done. I mean, first of all, if you're Brady, kind of like Drew Brees in New Orleans, I mean, you've gone all this way. You've done, 20 years with the Patriots. You really would like to just start and finish and have it all be with the same team. You don't want to go put on that weird new uniform, uproot everything. And not that Tom Brady's a Boston guy or a New England guy. He's from California, but still, you know, it'd just be a lot easier and probably preferable for Brady to keep doing what he's doing for New England. I mean, even this year, he wasn't at his best. He was kind of average if you look at the overall metrics, and he still had them within a hair of being in the AFC Championship game, or excuse me, being in the divisional round. I shouldn't say we don't know what would have happened in the divisional round, but either way, like, they were close, and they were 12-4 in the regular season, and honestly, I still, even as off of their usual pace as they were, I still can't believe they lost to the Dolphins at home in Week 17 to blow a first-round bye and home field advantage. I mean, that's amazing to me. But maybe that's the point. Maybe the old Patriots teams, maybe the old Brady doesn't do that, and maybe it's not something they're prepared to do for another year, and they want to move on. If that's the case, I'm asking you Bucs fans right now. I already know the answer. I mean, I did a poll 2 weeks ago when Aaron Rodgers was having a terrible game against the 49ers. And I said, if I told you right now, cap considerations weren't an issue, you can just pick either quarterback just for 2020. I'm not asking you to predict the next 5 years of Jameis Winston's career or anything like that. But I'm saying just for 2020, if you could have either quarterback, no cap considerations, Aaron Rodgers or Jameis Winston, who would you take? I thought it would be a competitive poll. And it wasn't as nearly as competitive as I thought. Aaron Rodgers took, I think it was about 76%. Jameis Winston took 24%. And I know some people who were like, wow, how'd Jameis get 24? I thought it'd be closer. Aaron Rodgers was really not that good this year. I know he limited interceptions and all that stuff, but I mean, he didn't exactly move that offense. And yes, wins and losses are the final arbiter. I get it. But there's so many more things that go into that. And I wasn't impressed with Rodgers this year. And again, looking at what Jameis did, especially in the final game of the season, I get why the vote turned out that way. Now, if I asked you guys that same question, only I replaced Aaron Rodgers with Tom Brady, there is no doubt in my mind that Tom Brady would get well over 80%, maybe even close to 90%. I mean, it's Tom Brady. If you look at the actual numbers, folks, if you go by the metrics, and I know some people get turned off by the idea of metrics, but if you really just look at what each quarterback did and try to isolate their play, not the play of their entire team, because 12-4 is a lot better than what the Bucs ended up at 7-9. And nevertheless, Brady and Winston aren't that far apart. They got there different ways, because I guarantee if we signed Tom Brady, the interceptions would stop almost immediately. At least most of them would. We all know that. I mean, that's not a secret. Even at his old age, even in decline, which Tom Brady is certainly in decline. There's no arguing that. But even in decline, he'd take much better care of the football than Winston would. That much you can say. But you'd also lose things on the positive side, too. The downfield passing, the throws, the mobility, things like that. I mean, I don't think Tom Brady would throw for 5,000 yards. Now, with the weapons that he would have here compared to New England, like I said, it would be more. And if I asked most Buck fans, even the ones who support Jameis Winston, just the very idea of Tom Brady playing for the Buccaneers, you know, it's easy as a fan. This goes back to what I was saying last week's show about how fun it was when the Bucs made the Super Bowl and how much fun it was when they made the NFC Championship game and all that stuff. I mean, I can just tell you in my mind, before I even get to evaluating the quarterbacks for their quarterback's sake, like the actual X's and O's play on the field, I thought, huh, Tom Brady on the Bucs, imagine all the media being here, imagine our games being on TV, all that stuff. You know, those are things, don't mind the doorbell. It's a very busy day at One Game Day Place, but we keep recording no matter what. But all the things that come, all the accoutrement, if you will, of having Tom Brady on your football team, you know, as a fan, it's easy to fall in love with that type of stuff. Oh, man, the media would pay attention to us. Tampa Bay would be a national story. We'd be relevant. We'd probably get an extra Monday or Sunday night football game out of the deal. You know, as a fan, you think about all those things before you even get to, again, what kind of a quarterback would he be? And I do that, too. So, thinking about that, it's easy to get enamored, but I really, really don't see it. And he's going to have options in Vegas if the Raiders didn't want to try Derek Carr. You have a Gruden Brady thing. The LA Chargers now, you know, maybe other places. I don't know about Miami, but I mean, they're sexier, if you want to use that word, destinations than Tampa Bay that are also in need of a quarterback. Just from a pure football standpoint, if we moved on from Jameis Winston, I think we've got a pretty good situation for him here. I still don't think it's going to happen, though, and I don't even mean because of Jameis. I mean because of Brady. I just really think he'd be somebody inclined to stay where he is, if at all possible. And it's hard to imagine, even though I know it could happen with Belichick, it's hard to imagine them pulling the plug right now. I think one more year. But again, it's the first time Brady's been a UFA before. And it's hard to know what's going through his mind, and it's certainly you're not going to know anything about what's going through Belichick's mind, except you know he will do whatever it takes without pride or prejudice for anything or anybody. Seriously, I mean, that's how he is. But go ahead and indulge yourself. And let's indulge that fantasy for a second. Tom Brady on the Bucs. First of all, I can't imagine him wearing the ugly-ass jersey that we have. It'd just be a disgrace. I mean, I know there's been rumors about the Bucs changing the uniforms for 2020. I feel like there would have been an announcement by now. I do think they're going to change them soon, like in the next couple years. But if it's in 2020, if they're still leaning that way and nothing's come out yet, it's possible, but I'd be very surprised. But anyway, that has nothing to do with Brady. I'm just saying it's hard to imagine him wearing that jersey. But imagine all the coverage in training camp. Imagine the media circus going on at all times. The schedule hasn't come out yet. Imagine seeing those primetime games. I have to admit, it's kind of cool. And of course, you know, you'd be talking about somebody as a Hall of Famer playing a final season or two here. I mean, it'd be weird. First of all, it'd be really weird. And I still can't imagine it. And, you know, Tom Brady only played here for the first time a couple seasons ago in that Thursday night game when the Patriots came here because, you know, they only play as an AFC-NFC thing. They only play in each other's home stadium every 8 years. And 10 years ago when the Bucs were supposed to do it, host the Patriots, they shipped that game to London, which was a crime against Bucs season ticket holders and people who finally were going to get their chance to see Brady in Tampa. And they skipped an entire rotation, and it took another 8 years, and it happened. And he did play at Raymond James Stadium. But it'd be kind of ironic for him to then start playing at Raymond James Stadium as his home field. Although, again, I'm just indulging a fantasy that some of you may have. I really don't see it. And I'm not even sure I want it to happen because, and Trent Dilfer is the latest to take sides on this. There's been all kinds of people weighing in. But Trent Dilfer said the same thing that Carson Palmer had said, that a lot of other people have said. You know, with Bruce Arians' offense, you really got to give it that second year and see if there's improvement, because it is tough. I mean, Jameis Winston was in a new offense last season, and especially Arians' offense, there's a big leap from year one to year two. And I agree with that, and I've been saying it myself. So we'll see what happens. But again, no one's had to show their cards yet, and no one will for several more weeks. And in the meantime, we'll just keep feeding off these crumbs of rumors and these morsels of reports and things that ultimately don't add up to anything until there's concrete news to report. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can reach me at BobbyGameDay. So the Super Bowl on Sunday, going back to that, Tom Brady won't be playing in it. Although, again, it's amazing when you look at the, what was it, 10 straight AFC Championship games or something like that that they were in, and just not having them in that. And I would have rather had them in than the Titans against any of those teams in on divisional weekend. But to see that streak end was kind of jarring, and here we go. We got two teams that have not been to the Super Bowl in a while. Well, the Chiefs, it's been 50 years, and the 49ers were in there a few years ago and lost to the Ravens. That was the Harbaugh Bowl with both brothers coaching against each other. But whoever's playing, it doesn't really matter because you may be going to a Super Bowl party. And some people just watch the Super Bowl at home just like any other game. They just sit in their living room and they're alone or with their spouse or with their kids, and that's fine. I have never, I'm trying to think, and I can, here's one of the cool things about the Super Bowl. It's one of the few sporting events, even though it's become, you know, really hugely commercialized, and even though it's kind of like, you know how people call a Gasparilla amateur hour for like Tampa partiers, and you get all these people who come out that aren't used to partying and aren't used to alcohol and aren't used to handling themselves. The Super Bowl is kind of amateur hour for football fans. This is the one game a year that even people who don't watch football are going to watch this one. But it's one of the few days of the year where I wake up that morning and that sporting event is the first thing I think about. What are the sporting events? And it's going to vary for different people, but how many sporting events, besides just like your favorite team, like whenever there's a Bucks game or a Gator game, I always love waking up during football season on weekends and I know my team has a game. I love that about football. But I'm talking about independent of your teams, just standalone events. How many of them are a big enough deal to you that you get out of bed that morning and you think, hey, it's Super Bowl Sunday. The Super Bowl is definitely one for me. I'm trying to go through all the sports. The college football national championship game is definitely one. And again, me being a football guy, no surprise. Masters Sunday, every time I wake up on Masters Sunday, like that's the first thing I think about. It's Masters Sunday. Like first thing you think about when you open your eyes. That's how you know it's a big deal. Super Bowl, college football national championship, Masters Sunday for me, Derby Day for sure. I love Kentucky Derby Day. And I don't know how many more there are. I mean, the Final Four I like, but it's not, you know, unless the Gators are playing in it, it's not on the level of those other ones I mentioned. Am I missing anything? There's nothing in baseball, and there's nothing in hockey that does that to me. And there's nothing in the NBA that, yeah, I mean, I think it's that's a short list for me. I mean, again, yeah, it's, and maybe Wimbledon because it's actually on when I wake up and it's actually the first thing I see when I open my eyes. I flip the TV on in my room and the Wimbledon, the finals, you know, on Saturday and Sunday morning for the women and the men. But that's not, I would say it's Super Bowl Sunday, Kentucky Derby, Masters Sunday. Oh, and I forgot. I should say with college basketball, not the Final Four itself, but the first two rounds. Like when I wake up on Thursday morning and Friday morning of the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, that's the first thing I think about when I open my eyes. Ooh, it's, you know, March Madness. That's a fun 4 days, that Thursday through Saturday or Sunday. So those are it for me. And even though it's not my team playing, even though I'm not even really rooting for anybody, I mean, if the Bucks aren't playing, I don't care who wins this game. I'm just interested in this game. I'm still excited. So I can look back, and there's not many sporting events I can do this for. But this is the 54th Super Bowl. My earliest recollection of the Super Bowl would be the Broncos and Giants in the Rose Bowl in like 1986 or whatever it was. Actually, the year before that was the first one in Tampa Stadium with the Raiders and the Redskins, which I don't really remember anything about. And it's kind of ironic the next year is when I start remembering them. But every single Super Bowl since then, I was like 4 or 5 years old, okay? I could still right now tell you exactly where I watched it, who I was with, the teams that were playing. Without even looking up a list or not, I can tell you exactly where I was for all of them. And I can't do that with almost anything else, even, you know, things like the Masters, even those other events that I mentioned. But I've always watched this with people, whether it be a big party, a small get-together. I've never just watched this at home alone, or even with my wife or my girlfriend at the time. It's always been at least some other people besides that. Always, always, always. My neighborhood used to throw a big Super Bowl party when I grew up. And then in college, we'd always get together. Now my buddy, like I said, Andrew throws one. I'll be at his house. And here's the thing about Super Bowl parties. You know, there's a Goldilocks kind of theme to them, because you don't want to watch the Super Bowl with just, like, you know, one other person, to me. It's not befitting of how big the game is. There should be a gathering of some kind, if you can. But you also don't want to watch it at a gathering of, like, 40 people either. Because my buddy's Super Bowl party, it's gotten a little bigger over the years, and I'm starting to get, I need to talk to him a little bit and maybe have him rein the guest list in. I'm very close with this guy. I wouldn't tell most people, like, who to invite to their house, but I think I need to talk to him. Need to rein it in. I think a good number is somewhere in that 8 to 10 to 15 range. And I think if it gets to be any more than that, you start running into what I call catch-up people. And that is people who, I don't want to watch the Super Bowl with anybody who that's the only day of the year I see them. There's a lot of people who I only see once a year, and it's at this Super Bowl party. So what I call catch-up people are people that when you see them, you don't just go, hey, what's up, man? You know, people I already see in other parts of life, I just say, hey, what's going on? Catch-up people who I only see one day a year, and it's Super Bowl Sunday, now I got to say, how are the kids? How are you doing? I don't care about their kids, but I have to do that, and they have to do it to me, even though they don't care about my kids either. You know, we have to go through the whole song and dance. And the game's on. I don't want to have, like, these BS, you know, small talk conversations. And I like these people. I mean, these are not people I don't like, but I'm just saying, too many people who are not friends but acquaintances, or just people I'm familiar with, and now I got to catch up with them. And that's fine before the game, maybe a little bit, but once the game starts, I just want to make comments at the TV, inside jokes with people who I already know what I'm talking about, and I know what they're talking about. So I think you got to keep the umbrella a little tighter. And that's why, again, a good Super Bowl party to me is somewhere in that 8, 10, maybe 15 range. But you start getting 20, 30 people, it's just too much noise. There's too many different conversations going around in the room all at one time. The game is on, but it's secondary. And you know what always happens at these Super Bowl parties when you have a lot of people? Like, the only time everybody's eyes are on the TV and everybody is rapt with attention is when it's halftime, right? Because that's the only time the women, and I don't want to stereotype because my wife likes football and my mom likes football, They watch the game, but I'm talking about a lot of the, you know, stereotypical. That's when everybody at the party, whether it's someone who's interested in football or not, is still paying attention. I usually pay very little attention to the halftime show because I'm trying to make some halftime live bets or something like that. But, you know, that's the only time when it actually quiets the hell down and everybody's watching the TV, and it's when there's no gameplay going on. So that's kind of probably what it'll be like on Sunday. And now everybody brings their kids. That makes it more fun. My son's just now reaching the age where he's really able to follow along. He's into it, and he understands the Super Bowl and all that. And I enjoy watching it with him now, and I enjoy seeing it through his eyes. So that's kind of cool. But honestly, I would rather watch it at a party than not, even a bigger one. But I could be spared all the catch-up stuff. All the let's talk about this stuff, people with their back to the TV gabbing away. You know, it should be a nice horseshoe shape. Like, it should be enough people that can all fit in the living room and watch it. So if it's any more than like 12 or 15, now you start getting people in different rooms. Oh, and then we got TV broadcast delays. You know, not every TV, you know, the patio TV might be 2 or 3 seconds ahead of the living room TV, and now there's people outside watching, and they cheer 5 seconds before something happens, and then you see it on the inside TV. Oh, you ruined it, you know. I could do a whole show on broadcast delays and my issues with those, but that's a separate thing. These are all considerations, is my point. So on Sunday, you know, we're going to get together. We're going to play pool volleyball. It's one of the 3,450,985th reason I love living in Tampa and love living in Florida, because in the dead of winter before the Super Bowl, we'll hop in the pool, play a little pool volleyball, maybe a little pool badminton. Hop out, dry off, and I'll watch the game. It's one of my favorite Super Bowl traditions. But I don't need that many people, so it's probably going to be a few more than I thought. Now, my son wants to say something, and I'm going to go ahead. You can weigh in. My son's name is Wade. Wade, welcome to the Free Stretch, buddy.
Can I play volleyball too?
Yeah, are you going to watch the game afterward?
Yeah.
Okay, are you going to stay up for the game? Are you going to be able to get some rest after the game ends? It's going to be kind of late. Talking to the mic.
I'm definitely staying up for the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm going to let you. Go ahead, buddy. Good job, man. Yeah, I'm not going to make him go to bed. And that's the thing I like about the Super Bowl, too. You know, all these other sporting events, like the college football national championship, all the other leagues, NHL, NBA, finals, all that stuff, they all start so late that it's impossible for a kid to watch the whole thing. I mean, it's hard for most adults to. But the Super Bowl being a 6:15 or what is it, you know, it's usually like 6:18 or something like that. That's something where, and his bedtime is earlier than 10, but for a special occasion like Super Bowl Sunday, I can let him stay up for the game and I can have him go to bed, you know, at 10 o'clock, whereas normally he'd go to bed at 8:30 or 9. I'll stretch it for that night and I don't have a problem with that. And I remember as a kid, I mean, going back to, again, 4 or 5 years old, and my mom was not exactly one of those who was strict with the bedtimes. We're a lot more strict with our kids' bedtime than my mom was with me, but, you know, I never went to bed before the end of the Super Bowl. I can remember all 60 minutes of all those games. Always saw the whole thing through as far back as I could remember. But it's interesting because a lot of people have been talking, and the Super Bowl, you know, it's a Sunday evening into a Sunday night, but a lot of people have been talking about, should the Super Bowl be on a Saturday? Is there any reason why the NFL shouldn't do exactly what it's doing right now, as far as the schedule goes, only move it up just one day and just play the same thing, 6:20 p.m., whatever it is, play it on Saturday instead of Sunday? And a lot of people have talked about how they'd love to see that. Others have talked about how just keep it on Sunday, but move it back a couple of weeks to President's Day weekend. And, okay, Wade wants to say something. What else?
That'll definitely work for me because I have to wake up at 7 o'clock every morning, so
yeah,
I can still get a little extra sleep on.
Yeah, and that would be nice.
On that Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, a lot of people have to be up early on Monday morning, and even for them, 10:30, 11 o'clock. By the time you get home from a party, you know, it can be late for some people. Would you rather it be on Saturday? To me, I mean, I think it's Super Bowl Sunday as it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's hard to imagine the Super Bowl on any other day. I don't think I'd complain if it was on Saturday. But again, the President's Day thing is interesting because they're talking about expanding the schedule. And if they add a 17th game, which looks more and more, and we'll talk about this when we get into our offseason shows, but it's looking more and more like that's possible. And then maybe you add another bye week on top of that. So you go from a 17-week season to a 19-week season. Although you could cut back on a preseason game, and that would still keep it at 18 total weeks, you know, from the start of the season. So I don't know. But the point is, if you bump this back long enough, then you get to President's Day weekend. Now, a lot of people don't. President's Day doesn't matter to them. They work just like any other Monday. I know my son is off school. The Hillsborough County public schools are off. So that would be something that would help maybe a lot of kids, and different private schools have different schedules and stuff too. But I don't think football season needs to end much later. I think if they started the Super Bowl really late, I'd have a problem with it. I think starting it at 6:20, it's fine. Like I like having that Saturday night beforehand when I've covered Super Bowls in the past. As a good, you know, it's a fun party night, go out night and stuff like that. It's a whole weekend that culminates with the Sunday game. I think it's fine. I could see why people maybe would want it to be on Saturday, but I'm also not a big alcohol guy either. So I'm not going to go to a party and want to drink. I'm not going to have to worry about being hungover on Monday morning. It doesn't matter to me. It's a reasonable hour, and I think it's pretty good the way it is. But either way, some people may feel differently. And what I will say, what I don't like about the Sunday thing, and here's another thing that goes back to these Super Bowl parties with too many pretenders, not enough football people, too many just Johnny-come-latelys. You get all these people watching the game, then the halftime show. What happens at a bigger party after the halftime show? The party starts clearing out. So there's nothing that's more of a buzzkill than when you have a huge, you know, tension galore type of game going on where it's tight into the third and fourth quarter. And the host of the party, my buddy does not do this too much, but he does a little bit. They start cleaning up around you. All of a sudden, there's 30 people that were there. Now there's like 8 people that were there, but it's not like the 8 hardcores. It's just a random sampling of 8 people, so it's still kind of random people going in and out. Oh, we got to get going. We got to get the kids to bed. People start ducking out in the third quarter. I'd rather them come to the party at halftime and stay for the end of the game and blow off the first half, because now the game's getting good, and you know they're doing dishes behind you to start getting cleaned. No! Like, I remember Malcolm Butler's interception on the goal line, and like me and Chelsea, my wife, sitting on the couch watching it, and we were the only ones on the couch, and there's people like saying goodbye to each other like as this is happening. The water's running in the background. They're spraying dishes. They're pulling trash bags out of the can. Come on. Do that after the game is completely over. I gotta either play this show back for my buddy, which some of you might say is punishment, or I need to just talk to him before Sunday to make sure we don't breach these protocols, because otherwise I'm gonna have to start thinking about, like, what Super Bowl Sunday really means and doing things the right way. The focus should always be on the football game, no matter what. And as the game progresses into the later stages, that focus should narrow even further, not widen. I don't want to say, oh, I got to get my kids to bed. I'll see. Just, if you want to leave, just leave. Like, we don't need to go through the whole song and dance of everybody saying goodbye to each other, because that's another thing. The game is going on. And I'm not some hardcore nut. I get it. This is a social gathering as much as it is a football game. But it is still a football game, and not just a football game. It is the ultimate football game to decide the championship of professional football. So with that said, I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to wish you a safe and happy Super Bowl weekend, wherever you're going or whatever you're doing. If it's anywhere that you're going or whatever you're doing, just make sure you're responsible. If you're going to have a few, make sure you have somebody to drive or use Uber or whatever it's going to be. And just remember, we got one more of these, okay? The next football game after this one will not be until early August, and that is 7 months away, a little over, 6.5 months away. And the next football game that counts of any kind is over 7 months away. It'll be in early September, so when you think about it that way, hey, yeah, it's a party. Yeah, we're going to see some friends. Yeah, we're going to have some fun. But we got one football game left, and I think it's going to be a pretty damn good one. I'm not going to make a pick because I don't have a pick. I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't matter what I say anyway as far as predictions. I predict it'll be fun, though. I do think it'll be a good game. I'll be surprised if it's not a good game, and I will leave it at that. Anyway, thanks to our sponsors over at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform to be able to get in front of all of you. Another season has come to an end one way or the other. On Sunday evening, of course, the free stretch never comes to an end. We'll be doing the shows through the offseason, year-round, like we always do. But thanks to everybody for listening. Have a great, safe weekend in the Super Bowl. I don't care if the Bucs aren't playing. That's who I want to win the Super Bowl. So don't ask me who I'm rooting for. In the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucs.